Well, good morning, Antioch. Again, good morning. Good morning to those of you who call Antioch home, those of you who are visiting with us today, and a special hello to those of you who are watching us online. Thanks for joining us today. So I am slowly working my way through a book called 12 Ordinary Men. 12 Ordinary Men. I'm slowly making my way through it. And the basic premise of the book is that there was really, when you think about it, there was really nothing fancy about Jesus' 12 disciples. They were not highly educated scholars. They weren't teachers of the law. They didn't have fancy training or anything like that. They were 12 ordinary men. And because of that, one of the things they constantly found themselves doing was always in a season of learning more and more about Jesus through their ups and downs of life. So they would encounter a problem or a situation, and sometimes they would sort of stumble their way through it. Or they would be in a lesson, and they would pick up on it later on. They wouldn't pick up on what Jesus was trying to teach them at the time. And sometimes they just missed the point of what Jesus was trying to teach them altogether. And sometimes they would just simply not show the kind of faith that Jesus wanted them to show at that moment. Jesus' disciples were always in a season of learning. And eventually, these times of learning would play a crucial role in their lives, because after Jesus ascended back into heaven, they would go on and they would continue to perform miracles in his name and heal in his name and do some amazing things in the name of Jesus. But before they got to that point, they had to go through these times of testing and growing so that they could be firm and confident and the Savior, the risen Savior that they proclaimed and that they represented. And so the cool thing is, we today, we have the benefit of reading about many of these encounters and many of these situations that they went through, not just so that we can see how they responded, but also so that we too can learn more about Jesus Christ. So with that, if you would please stand as we read from the Word of God today from Mark Chapter 4. We're finishing Mark chapter 4 today. Mark chapter 4, starting with verse 35. And it says, "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.' This is the word of God. You may be seated. This account takes place on the Sea of Galilee, which, interestingly enough, is actually a freshwater lake. So it's not a sea, it's a freshwater lake. And what makes the Sea of Galilee unique is that it sits way below sea level, and it is surrounded by these hills. So the valley that it sits in, wind comes into the valley that it sits in and causes these sudden, unexpected storms. And I have a picture of it today. The region actually hasn't changed much since the time of Jesus. So you can see the sea sits hundreds of feet below sea level, and then it's surrounded by all of these hills that make these storms come in unexpectedly. So Jesus chose to do a lot of his ministry and his miracles around this particular body of water. And if you remember from the start of chapter 4 started with Jesus teaching by this exact lake. And then over the last couple of weeks, we've seen him doing a lot of teaching and miracles. And now, as chapter 4 draws to a close, he tells his disciples that it's time to leave this area and go over to the other side of the lake. So you can imagine it's probably been a long day of ministry for Jesus and his disciples, and they've been listening to him teaching and preaching and just doing all of these things. So he tells them, let's go over to the other side. And it says they leave the crowd behind. Remember, one of the things Mark has shown us in his gospel is the sheer number of people who have been trying to follow Jesus wherever he goes, from city to city and town to town. As more and more people hear about Jesus and the miracles that he's doing, they clamor for Jesus to see him work a miracle or even have him work a miracle in their own lives. So now that Jesus is done preaching in this area of the lake, they leave the crowd behind. Not that the people they were leaving behind were no longer important. It's just that Jesus knew that he and his disciples had more work to do in other regions. And then Mark gives us this interesting line in verse 36. It says, there were also other boats with him. So this was probably other followers of Jesus who he allowed to come with them to the other side of the lake. So if you think back to chapter 4, verse 10, it said that he was alone with the disciples and the others around him. So these were probably some of his other followers who were not part of the 12 disciples, but they were other followers of Jesus who he allowed to come on this trip to the other side of the lake. So they set out, and get this picture in your mind. Jesus and his 12 disciples are in one boat, and there are a few other boats close by with some of his other followers, and they're all headed to the other side of the lake. So here we go. They're making the journey across the lake when all of a sudden it happens. Verse 37 tells us a furious squall comes up. That's a windstorm. And remember, because of where the Sea of Galilee is located, because of where it's situated, these storms could come out of nowhere. They were unexpected. They could come out of nowhere. So the waves are so high, it says the water is crashing into the boat to the point of almost completely submerging it. And while all of this is going on, in the middle of this raging storm, guess what Jesus is doing? He's asleep. I thought about when I read this passage earlier this week, I thought about a friend that I have, a college buddy named Brian. Brian could sleep through anything. Loud music, you name it, anything that was going on in the dorm. Brian, he could just sleep through this. And I thought about this. Jesus is asleep on a boat that is in the middle of a storm. And no doubt Jesus was probably exhausted from a long day of ministry, but I think there's a deeper meaning behind him sleeping in the middle of a storm that we're going to see shortly. So Jesus is asleep, and while he is sleeping, the disciples, as you can imagine, they're panicking and they're losing their minds. They're probably thinking, this is it. This is how our lives are going to end. This is how we are going to die. So in a last-ditch effort, they wake Jesus up and they say, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Now, when they ask this question, they're asking Jesus to help them. They're asking him to save him. They're crying out to Jesus for help. But there's also this sort of accusatory tone behind what they're saying. What they're saying behind what they're saying is this: Jesus, we've seen you heal sick for other people. We've seen you cast out demons in other people. We've seen you save other people. Can you at least do something for us right now? Do you have any miracles left for us right now? Do you even care about your own disciples? We've seen you do stuff for everyone else. Can you do something for us? This is what they're getting at by asking this question. And notice, Jesus doesn't even directly answer their question. They ask, don't you care if we drown? Jesus doesn't even answer the question. Instead, he gets up and he says three words: quiet, be still. And just like that, the raging storm dies down. What they were worried about just a few seconds ago, just a few seconds ago, what they were worried about, what they thought was the end of their lives, Jesus took care of in an instant. And then he turns this into a teaching moment. Like he does a lot, Jesus takes a lot of things and he turns them into teaching moments. So he takes this and he turns it into a natural teaching moment. He turns to his disciples and he asks them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And when Jesus asked that question, he's not trying to make them feel bad about themselves. He's not trying to get them to doubt their qualifications to be disciples. In fact, it's actually the opposite. He's reminding them that they are disciples. And more than anyone else, they have personally witnessed the power of Jesus move and work and heal and change in the lives of others. So what he's saying is, do you still have no faith? Meaning, after everything you have personally seen me do and work, why are you still doubting my power? So he's trying to get them to grow in their faith, and to trust him when the storms of life hit and when things get hard. So he says, do you still have no faith? After everything you've seen me do you still have no faith? Not trying to get you to feel bad, but trying to get you to think. Come on, disciples, grow up. Because Jesus will always be with them spiritually. His spirit will be with them, but he would not always be with them physically, the way he is now. And in the future, they're going to face some severe times of trials and persecution and even death threats and death. And when these times came, they could not lose faith. So he uses these times to help them grow up. And they'll eventually get there. They're going to get there. But for now, they're taking baby steps to become all Jesus has called them to be. And notice what they say at the end. Who is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. So this statement by them shows that through this account, what happens? What happens through this account? They now have a broader understanding of Jesus. Amen. They now have a broader understanding of Jesus. They just saw him do something they've never seen before, and it completely blows their minds. They've seen him heal the sick. They've seen him cast out demons. They've seen him heal crippled. But they've never seen anyone control the weather until now. So now they know what exactly Jesus can do. And their understanding of his power is continuing to expand. Amen. When I read this, this is such an encouraging and in many ways a convicting account that really shows us, as we say here at Antioch, what it means to grow up into mature followers of Jesus. What it means to continue to grow as mature followers of Jesus. So what can we pull from this account, from this passage? Well, I think there's six things that stood out to me from this passage. Number one, I think this passage is showing us that Jesus will stand on his word. Go back all the way to the beginning of our passage today. You remember look closely at what Jesus said. Let us go over to the other side of the lake. He already told them where they were going. He already told them they were going to the other side. And the storms they ran into didn't negate what Jesus had already said. The storm was powerful. Yes, it was, but it wasn't more powerful than the words of Jesus. they eventually make it to the other side of the lake because Jesus said they were going to the other side of the lake. And listen, the same is true in your life. Jesus has promises to us through his word. He speaks to us through his word. And his promises are some of the ones that he will never leave us or forsake us, and nothing can separate us from his love. He's promised to instruct us and keep us, and that no weapon formed against us will prosper. The Bible is full of God's promises, and you going through a storm doesn't cancel out the promises that Jesus has made to you. Your problems don't stand a chance against the word of God. Whatever Jesus has spoken will come to pass, and nothing you will ever face will void out God's word to you. So, amen. So if you're going through a storm today, or the next time you go through a storm, the next time you do, that's a good time to get into the word of God, because it's filled with God's promises made to us. And you want to be able to recall those promises when life comes undone. Or maybe you're not in a storm right now. Maybe you can admit, you know, life is pretty good right now. Life is pretty easy right now. Guess what? Don't slack off on reading the word of God. That's still a good time to get into the word of God so you can immerse yourself in it and you can remember his promises. You don't have to wait until life falls apart to open your Bible. So if life is tough today, get into the word of God. If life is easy, get into the word of God. We want to be a church. We want to be people who stay in the word of God regardless of what is going on around us, because we know that he stands on his word, and God's word to us is the most reliable, trustworthy thing we have. So stay in the word. If you're going through a storm today, stay in the word. If you're not going through a storm, stay in the word. That's his promises to us. Number two, we have to remember, God goes with us. God goes with you. Look again at verse 35. Pay extreme close attention to what Jesus says. Look at it. Verse 35. Let us go over to the other side. Notice, he didn't say, hey, you guys go over to the other side and I'll meet you when you get there. He didn't leave them alone to figure out the storm. He went with them. He was in the boat with them. And I think he does this to demonstrate something that we should all remember. In life, Jesus goes with us and he never leaves us alone. There is never a moment when he deserts you or isn't aware of what's going on in your life. And this is so important to remember, because sometimes, listen, sometimes you can feel alone. Sometimes you can feel like no one sees what you're going through. No one cares what I'm going through. No one sees me. But in those times, hold on to the fact that Jesus is with you in the boat. So he goes with them to show that he's with them. And that speaks to us today. You're never alone in your storm. Jesus goes with you. And here's something else. I was thinking about this the other. Here's something else that I'm learning. The Christian life is not always about getting through the storm, but growing in your faith through the storm. It's not always about just getting through the storm, but remembering who is with you through the storm. Because I think it becomes so easy to just say, God, take away my problems. God, take away my storm. God, take away my storm. And we begin to have these prayers where all we pray is, God, just take away the storm. God, just take away the storm. Instead of remembering to be thankful that God is with us through the storm. And listen, God can certainly take our problems away. God has the power to do anything. He can take our problems away. But what he also wants us to remember is that he is with us through our problems. So today, church, ask yourself, when I pray, do I just pray for God to take my problems away? Or do I remember that even if he does not take the problem away, he's with me through the problem? Jesus was with them in the boat, and that was all they needed. So don't just pray, God, just take the problem away. God, just take the problem away. God, just take the problem away. Say, God, thank you that you're with me through this problem. He never leaves you to weather the storms of life by yourself. Remember that. Jesus will never leave you to weather the storms of life by yourself. You may not know how long the storm is going to last, but you will not be alone in that storm by yourself. And that should give us encouragement. Amen? Amen. Number three, Jesus keeps you afloat. Jesus keeps you afloat. Remember that. It's interesting. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all wrote about this account in each of their own gospels. And each of them, I read it earlier this week, each of them wrote this in such a way that they leave no doubt about the size of the storm they were in. The waves were so high they were breaking over the side of the boat. That means water was coming into the boat. But notice Mark specifically, notice what Mark says. It says they were nearly swamped. That's the key word for us. Nearly swamped. Even though it felt like it at the time, the waves never completely took them under. Why? Because Jesus kept them afloat. He protected them and they made it. They made it. So listen, there may come a time when you feel like the waves of life are crashing around you. And it feels like you're going to drown because of what you're going through is so hard or so overwhelming. Let me remind you that Jesus keeps you afloat. He holds you up. Now, he doesn't promise a life free from storms and free from pain. He doesn't promise that. But he also reminds us that there's never a moment when you're outside the protection of your loving Heavenly Father. He kept the disciples from going under, and he can do the same in your life too. So when the waves of life hit, they hit, but nothing is outside of God's hands. And he still has you. He holds you up. Even when it feels like you're going down, he's holding you up. I love that Mark put that in there. It says they were nearly swamped. They weren't completely swamped. They were nearly swamped. Which leads us to our next point. Jesus models outrageous trust. Jesus models outrageous trust. You know, I saw a quote from a pastor several years ago that has always stuck with me. It said, sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Meaning sometimes, look, life can get so hard and you find yourself trying to solve everything on your own and going through your problems and you're doing your very best on your own. In those situations, the best thing you can do is take a nap. Meaning you show you trust in God by resting in him. Instead of doing more, you stop and you rest in him. What was Jesus doing while the storm was raging on? He was sleeping on a cushion at the back of the boat. He wasn't scared. He wasn't frightened. He wasn't panicking. He wasn't even awake. He was resting in the protection and providence of his heavenly Father. What does this show us? When life gets tough, we can rest like Jesus because we can rest in Jesus. Let me say that again. What does this show us? When life gets tough, we can rest like Jesus because we can rest in Jesus. And I get it, church. I get it. This is easier said than done. And when I was coming up with this, I said, you know, I struggle with this one. When life gets hard, I want to figure things out and I want to do things to try to solve the problems. What can I do? I feel like I have to be doing something. I want to do something. But life often puts us in positions where there is nothing you can do but trust in Jesus and rest in him. And as growing, maturing Christians, we should strive to be like Jesus even during the storms of life. So here's the question you have to ask yourself. What is my tendency when things get tough? What is my tendency when things get tough? Do I wear myself out trying to figure things out? Or do I rest? When life hits you, what is your tendency? Do you get busy trying, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to do this? Or do you just rest? Do you just rest? Today, you can rest in Jesus. That leads us to our next point. Jesus does things no one else can do in your life. Jesus does things no one else can do in your life. Don't rush past the fact that Jesus calmed an entire storm system just by speaking to it. This is something no human being in the history of the world will ever be able to do except Jesus. Think about this. Think about this. Every disciple on that boat, on their best, brightest, smartest day, if they put all their heads together, they still could not have accomplished what Jesus did in just three words. He has power that no one else has. He has command that no one else has. He has strength that no one else has. And he has control like no one else has. And that is why he and he alone can solve the problems in your life like no one else can. And for many of you, you already know this. You've seen this personally in your life. You can look back on your life and you see times when it was only Jesus who got you through something or gave you the strength or gave you the endurance to get through something or provided a way or solved a problem that you didn't know how it was going to be solved. You know firsthand that Jesus does things that no one else can do. And that is what the disciples discovered on this evening on the boat, that Jesus and Jesus only can take care of the storms in our lives. People can give us advice. People can give us suggestions. They can impart wisdom to us and things like that. But there are just some things in our lives that only Jesus can take care of. Jesus does things that no one else can do in your life. And finally, I think this passage shows us your problems, our problems, can expand our understanding of Jesus. When Jesus calmed the storm, it's interesting, the only thing the disciples could do was look at each other and ask, "Who is this?" Then notice what they say at the end. "Even the wind and the waves obey him." Remember, they've seen him do a lot of casting out and healing, but they've never seen him do this before. And when they do, they learn more and more about the power of Jesus. They learn that he has amazing authority. And they still had times, as we continue in our gospel study of Mark, they still have times where they fall short and they don't get it right and they don't exhibit the type of faith that they should. But no doubt, they one day could look back at this moment and realize that they learned more about Jesus when they went through this storm. So your problems, the hard times you go through, that's when you can learn the most about Jesus. Dan Moose in our elders meeting the other day said something that stuck with me. I wrote it down. He said, We don't grow if we don't go through hard times. Think about that. We don't grow if we don't go through hard times. And, you know, none of us in here really likes to go through hard times. In fact, we all try to avoid hard times. We want life to be easy, and we don't want to go through difficulties and trials. No one really willingly wants to sign up for hard times. But when you go through hard times, you learn more about Jesus and his amazing power. And he continues to reveal himself to you. He uses hard times to grow us up and teach us more and more about his power. So remember, it's not always about getting God to just take away the problem, but learning more about God through the problem. So whatever you're going through today, ask yourself, here's the question, ask yourself, Jesus, what are you trying to teach me through this problem? Because I'll say it again, it's so easy to just pray a prayer of God, take this away, take this away. I want to be done with this problem. I want to be done with this problem. I'm guilty of that too. I want to be done with this problem. Then I have to realize, Jesus, what are you trying to teach me through this? What lesson maybe I'm missing that you're trying to get me to understand? That's why we sometimes go through hard times, because it's teaching moments. And that's what the disciples learned. They went through this scary storm, but it was a teaching moment. Amen? So we have discussed a lot today. Let me recap for us. Number one, Jesus will stand on his word. Jesus said, they're going to the other side. Whatever he has spoken to you will come to pass. And you going through what you're going through today is not going to cancel out the word of God. Number two, remember, Jesus goes with you. He says it. Let us go over to the other side. He didn't just send them on their way. He doesn't just send you on your way. You are never alone. Even if it feels like no one knows what you're going through, you have someone who is with you. And there's a place you will always be, and it's in the hands of Jesus. Number three, Jesus keeps you afloat. Remember the language Mark uses? It was nearly swamped. It wasn't completely swamped, nearly swamped. Maybe today you feel nearly swamped. He's keeping you afloat. He's keeping you afloat. Jesus models outrageous trust for us. He was asleep in the storm. Remember, ask yourself, how do I respond when things get tough? Do I try to figure things out? Or do I remember I can rest in Jesus? Jesus does things no one else can do. They had never seen anyone do this before. They had never seen anyone control the weather. And a lot of you know that. You know that. You've seen Jesus do things that no one else can do in your life. Jesus does things that no one else can do. And number five, our problems can expand our understanding of Jesus. Think about some of your biggest moments of Christian growth in your Christian life have come through what? Some of your darkest seasons. Some of your darkest seasons can be some of your biggest moments of Christian growth. So your problem can be a teaching moment. God, what are you trying to teach me through this? Amen? So here's what I want to do as we close today. Number one, I want to extend an invitation. There may be someone here today who has, as the worship team comes up, there may be someone here today who has not accepted Jesus as their Savior. And you've been trying to do life on your own. And you've been trying to weather the storms of life on your own. I want to give you a moment to repeat this prayer after me. And then number two, for those of us who have placed our trust in Jesus, I want you to do something during this time. I want you to specifically, one of two things, I want you to either name a storm that you're going through in life or a storm that you know someone else is going through in life. And I want you to really think about this storm, this hard, this difficult time. And I want you to remind yourself to rest in Jesus. Because maybe you've been wearing yourself out trying to figure out how you're going to get out of this storm to the point to where you thought you were the only one in your storm. I want you to think about your storm and then remind yourself that Jesus is with you and rest in that storm. So let's just take a moment as the worship team plays to do that. Dear Jesus, I admit that I am a sinner. That I've been trying to do life on my own apart from you. Jesus, I repent of my sins. I accept you as my Savior today. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen.